Take your Bibles this morning and turn over to Romans chapter 16. We're going to begin there. If you'd stand with me as I read a few verses here from Romans chapter 16. Beginning with verse 1, Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Then jump down to verse 13. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Verse 21. Timotheus, my workfellow, Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. Itertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Then Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you, and Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for those that have been helpers, that have made a difference in other people's lives, that have supported your servants, as we see here a number that were helpers to the Apostle Paul. I pray as we look into your word today that you would challenge us to be helpers in the Lord Jesus Christ for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to focus on verse 3 to verse 5 about a couple by the name of Aquila and Priscilla. Paul says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Now, Paul uses a term here in reference to Aquila and Priscilla. He says, my helpers. The word literally means to work with, synergos. So those that were working with him. Now, you know, when we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, we think of a great missionary. We think of the shipwrecks and the imprisonments and the suffering, all the churches that he started as he went through Asia Minor and then into Europe, into Macedonia and down into Greece. And we say, you know, what a great missionary. Look at what God did through him. But many times we forget all those that were behind the scene that were helping him, that made a difference. So when he would write to the church here at Rome, when he wrote to the church at Colossae and other churches and just says, you know, greet this person, greet that person, my co-laborer, my helper, my fellow prisoner, you know, all these different ones that helped him accomplish the work of God that God used him to do. Now, what does that mean to us today? You know, many of those were just ordinary people, ones that we don't know much about, like down in verse 13, he says, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, his mother, and notice those next two words, and mine. So, who was Rufus's mother? We're not given her name, but yet Paul makes the statement that she was like a mother to me. Maybe in Antioch when, you know, he came there to help Barnabas with the church in Antioch. We're not told any of the details except Paul mentions her name. You know, here was a lady, says greet her because she was like a mother to me. Then, you know, he mentions others. Gaius, my host, while he was there in Ephesus and writing back to the church at Corinth. And we could go on and on listing person after person that was a helper to the Apostle Paul. Now, my challenge as we go through this morning is, will you be a helper in Christ Jesus? Will you make a difference in the life of some other missionaries for God's glory? Can you make a difference? Yes. You know, can you imagine? You know, we have how many in here? Maybe 130, 140. If each one of us made a difference in a missionary's life, what that would do for the cause of Christ. And so Paul singles out Aquila and Priscilla, and he says, greet Aquila and Priscilla, my helpers, who basically risked their lives for my sake. And says, I give thanks for this couple. And it says, not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles. Now, what did Aquila and Priscilla do? So, to get some background, we need to turn back to Acts chapter 18. So, turn with me over to Acts chapter 18, where we are introduced to Aquila and Priscilla. How did they become such good friends and such helpers to the Apostle Paul? So, in Acts chapter 18, beginning with verse 1, says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Now, here we're introduced. Paul comes into Corinth and he meets this couple. They befriend him. They invite him to work with them, to stay in their home with them. But let's go back and get a little more background here to understand how they made such an impact in Paul's life. Notice verse 1, after these things. Now, what things is Paul talking about, or Luke talking about in reference to Paul? You have to go back to chapter 16 and 17. Paul's on his second missionary trip. He had been going, he went back to the churches he had started on the first trip, going through Antioch, Pisidia, and Lystra, and Derbe. Timothy joined him there in Lystra. They came to Troas. He wanted to go one direction. The Holy Spirit says no. And then he has a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, come over unto us. So believing that was God's will, they travel over to Neapolis, landing in Europe, Macedonia, and they come to Philippi. Now, most of you know what happens in Philippi. Paul meets Lydia down by the riverside. She gets saved. They stay in her home. He casts the demon out of a young lady, and her owners then get mad at Paul, have him arrested, and he's beaten and thrown into prison. And so he and Silas, singing praises to the Lord at midnight, and the jailer gets saved, his family. So in the first city that he's ministered to in Europe, he's been beaten and thrown in jail. So he leaves there, he goes to Thessalonica. And so in Thessalonica, he preaches in the synagogue. There are a number of folks that get saved. And the Jews then become angry with him, and they create a turmoil, and basically a riot, and Paul and Silas, Timothy, they have to leave Thessalonica. He's basically run out of town. They come to Berea. And so those in Berea are more noble because they search the scriptures to see if things are so. There's a number that are saved there. And then here come the troublemakers from Thessalonica. They hear that Paul is in Berea, so they come to Berea and basically run Paul out of Berea. So he leaves Berea. So far, 3 for 3. He's been beaten and thrown in jail. He's been run out of Thessalonica. He's been run out of Berea. So some of the brethren then, the new brethren from Berea, take him to Athens and they leave him there. But Timothy and Silas are still back in Berea. So Paul is alone in the city of Athens. And so he gets up, you know the story, most of you, Mars Hill. He preaches about the unknown God, and when he starts talking about the resurrection, they mock him, they laugh at him, and he has very little fruit there in Athens. So he's been to 4 cities, beaten and thrown in jail, run out of 1 city, run out of another city, and he's been mocked and made fun of. And he leaves Athens and he comes to Corinth all alone. So I try to put yourself in his shoes. He's been in 4 cities and things have been pretty tough. But now he's heading to one of the most wicked cities in the Mediterranean. They are known for the immorality and wickedness, so there was a term coined called Corinthianize. Just like you have sodomy named after the wickedness of sodomy, well, Corinthianize was named after the wickedness and the immorality of the city of Corinth. And so Paul is coming to that city all alone. Timothy and Silas are still back in Berea. Later they will join him, we're told here in chapter 18, in Corinth. So he comes into Corinth, and then I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," then read verse 3, "and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." So, what is Paul's condition when he comes to Corinth? He's alone. He's been run out of 2 cities. He's been beaten and thrown in jail in another city. He's been mocked and made fun of in a 4th city. And now he's coming to one of the most wicked cities in the Mediterranean, and he's by himself. He says, "I came unto you in fear and trembling, much weakness." Do you think he needs a friend at this point? Does he need someone? Does he need some help? Does he need someone that can be used of God to be a blessing and an encouragement to him? Yes. Now, how about missionaries today? You know, think of someone who's on deputation and what it's been like through COVID. Or think of them, maybe they have spent hours on the phone calling preachers and all they got was an answering machine, "Please leave your name and number and I will get back to you as soon as possible." And they've done that for hours and they have nothing to show for it. Would they need some encouragement? Yes. How about, we just had our students in Intro to Missions turn in their 25 questions that they have to ask the missionary. And so I enjoyed reading through those. But I know one of the things that stuck out to me was the answers from the single lady missionaries. And so when they were asked the question, what is the hardship that you face on the field? What do you think the answer was? Loneliness. The answer of some of the others, being away from family, not being able to be there when there's illness or, other problems. Do they need a friend? Do they need a word of encouragement? Do they need someone to come alongside them in their time of need? Paul needed that when he came to Corinth. And what I want us to notice also is what's taking place. See, that's what's taking place in Paul's life. But what's taking place in Aquila and Priscilla's life? Because that's also interesting. Because you'll notice there that a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy. So there were things taking place in their life as well. That they had been living in Rome. They had a business. They had a home. And then all of a sudden, you get an emperor who does not like the Jews. And there had been some, we know from contemporary literature of that time, there had been some turmoil in Rome at the time. Maybe he's blaming the Jews. And so he expels all of the Jews from Rome. That affects Aquila and Priscilla. So they've had to leave their home. They've had to leave their business. They've had to leave their friends and relocate in another city. Here, another culture. They're not in Italy or Rome. They're over in Greece. In Corinth. And it says they have lately come. So, how would you feel? You've lost your home, you've lost your business, you've lost your friends, you've been forced, maybe on the spur of the moment, to evacuate or to become a refugee. And so, what would be their attitude? What would be their spirit? Would they be thinking and say, Lord, why have you allowed this to happen to me? You know, I want to serve you, I want to live for you, and all this has happened. For many of us, all we would be doing is thinking about ourselves, wouldn't it? Oh, woe is me. Look at what I'm having to deal with. But you know, it reminds me, when we come to Christmas time, you know, we enjoy being with family. We enjoy the presents. We think about all the things. And, of course, looking forward to next week when you get to go home. But how about those that are on the mission field? They don't get to come home. How about the single ladies that are lonely? Or maybe there's a missionary that they've lost a spouse this year. And it's going to be their first Christmas without their husband or wife. Or it could be without a child. Or it could be without a parent. You know, we have no idea what they may be going through. But you and I could make a difference. And so here's this couple. And they are having problems themselves. They have had all this taking place in their life. But God's in control. God brought this couple through the loss of their business, the loss of their home, the loss of their friends, to be in Corinth when Paul needed a friend. You know, isn't it amazing how God works? That He takes things in our lives that may seem to be difficult, they may seem to be hardships, they may seem to be a disaster, but God's organizing it all. Just like with Joseph. You know, he's sold into slavery. He's falsely accused of adultery. And then he's forgotten when he's in prison. But yet God's orchestrating the whole thing, isn't he? So that Joseph could say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Now, will you allow God to work in your life and to use you, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what the difficulties and the hardships are? There's others that you can be a blessing to. There's others that you can make a difference in their life. And that was Aquila and Priscilla. They were like Barnabas. You know, Barnabas' name meaning son of consolation, comforter, encourager. That's Aquila and Priscilla. And so this is the background that when Paul comes to Corinth, in weakness and fear and much trembling, having been beaten and thrown out of two cities and made fun of and mocked, and he's all alone, God has this couple to befriend him, to accept him into their home, to accept him into their business. And for a year and a half, Paul's in their home, working with them, because the tense of that word work is the idea of continually working with them. Can you imagine what it was like to have Paul sit at your supper table for a year and a half? The fellowship, and as he expounded to them all the great truths that God was revealing to him concerning Jesus Christ and concerning the church and all of that, what a wealth of fellowship and blessing that would have been to them, because they opened up their lives and their home to the Apostle Paul. You know, missionaries can be a blessing to you as well as you being a blessing to them. I was sharing with one of the classes, probably the first missionary that I remember was Bill Bathman. Years ago, when I was 5 or 6, they stayed in our home for a week. They were missionaries in Austria. He was going behind the Iron Curtain into Czechoslovakia and Romania and these other countries back when they were closed countries, taking in Bibles and preaching. And he, you know, he continued serving the Lord as a missionary and starting mission works, etc., until 4 years ago when he passed away. But what an impact that he had being in our church and being in our home as well. And so they've taken him into their home. And notice, you know, it says for a year and a half. But then when Paul gets ready to leave, look in verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him, who's with him? Priscilla and Aquila. Then, verse 23, after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Pergia in order, strengthening all the disciples. So, Aquila and Priscilla became such a part of Paul's ministry and helping him in proclaiming the gospel and ministering to him and helping him, that when he left to go to Ephesus, they went with him. And then Paul left them in Ephesus. And Paul will come back to Ephesus on his third missionary trip. And so here they are now in Ephesus, says, Lord, we're willing to go wherever you want us to go. You know, we were in Rome, and you brought us to Corinth. And so they had a business in Corinth. They're tent makers, so they could start a business wherever they went. So Paul, if we can help you, says, we'll go with you to Ephesus. And so Paul leaves them in Ephesus. And what happens in Ephesus? Verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So now, Aquila and Priscilla are in Ephesus. Paul has gone on to Jerusalem. And so, here they are, and being godly Christians, there's no church yet in Ephesus. So, where would the Christians go? Synagogue, where the word is going to be spoken and preached. So they go to the synagogue, as was their practice, and here comes a young scholar by the name of Apollos from Alexandria. Alexandria being one of the main intellectual centers of the Greek-Roman world. The largest library in the world was in Alexandria. They translated the Old Testament into Greek there. So here was a man that you might say was a university graduate, maybe a doctorate degree in today's terminology. Says he was mighty in the Scriptures, but he only knew the baptism of John. So here you've got a layman couple, Aquila and Priscilla. And what do? Basically, they take him aside and they said, let us tell you more about what we have learned about Jesus Christ. And you can imagine what Aquila and Priscilla have learned after a year and a half with the Apostle Paul. And so, they disciple this young man. There's no pastor to do it. And, you know, think of all, you know, even if you're just a first semester freshman, what all have you learned in one semester? Sitting in the Bible classes, the theology classes. I mean, just sitting in chapel here 4 days a week. Not to mention what you've learned in your home church, what you've learned in the church that you've attended here. You know, God has given you some knowledge to be used for His glory. And see, you could make a difference in discipling someone, even during the holidays. There might be a teenager in your home church or another young person close to your age or even someone older, where you could share with them what God has taught you. And that's what Aquila and Priscilla did. They allowed God to use them. So they've made a difference in Paul's life, encouraging him, providing a home for him, providing work for him. And now they make a difference in the life of Apollos. But it doesn't end there. Because when you read the other references to Aquila and Priscilla, at the end of 1 Corinthians, where he's writing to the church at Corinth, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is where? In their house. So he's writing from Ephesus. So when Paul came back to Ephesus for his 3 years, and then he writes to the church at Corinth, a church has been started in Ephesus, and Aquila and Priscilla have opened up their home, and a church is meeting in their home. When you read Romans 16, where we just began our message, what does it say? Greet Aquila and Priscilla, my helpers in the Lord. Verse 5, and the church that is in their house. So, you know, here's a family. No matter where they go, Paul could say they're helpers in Christ Jesus. Says they helped me. They were willing to give their lives and risk their lives for me. But they've not only helped me, they've helped Apollos. They've helped other believers everywhere they went. He says, there was a church in their house in Ephesus. There was a church in their house in Rome. And then we find when Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he says, greet Aquila and Priscilla. They're back in Ephesus again. So, they're in Rome. They're forced out. They go to Corinth. So they help Paul in starting a church in Corinth and ministering there. Then they go with him to Ephesus and they stay there, and there ends up being a church in their home. They go back to Rome, evidently after Claudius the emperor dies, and there's a church in their home there. And then at the end of Paul's life, they're back in Ephesus again. I would assume helping Timothy in the church that is there in Ephesus. So Paul could say in Romans chapter 16, he says, greet Aquila and Priscilla, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Says, I give thanks and all the churches of the Gentiles. Church in Corinth, the church in Rome, the church in Ephesus, and who knows how many other churches, because Paul says all the churches give thanks for this couple. Now, they were just tent makers, but what an impact they had for Christ. So it doesn't matter what you may end up in as a profession, whether God calls you to the mission field, whether you're a Christian school teacher, whether you're a policeman or a fireman, or whatever you may be, God can use you to make a difference. He did Aquila and Priscilla. My helpers, many others that God used, but I wanted us to focus on this couple. They were just tent makers. But what an impact and difference they had in the spread of the gospel. In ministering to Paul, ministering to Apollos, ministering in Corinth, ministering in Rome, ministering in Ephesus. You know, God is giving you an education. God is giving you the privilege of learning. The question is, what will you do with it? And here, they said, we're going to serve the Lord. As Joshua says, as for me and my house, I don't know what y'all are going to do. Says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, how can you help? There's many ways. One of the books that I've mentioned in our classes that is very helpful, Neil Parolo's book on serving as senders today. Six areas that you can help in taking care of missionaries. One was moral support, encouraging. Remember when David had to flee from Saul, who came and strengthened his hands in the Lord? Jonathan. Then you have the logistics support. What is logistics? Missionary goes on the field, then he needs help. Somebody to handle a prayer letter, someone maybe to handle taxes, someone to handle their finances back in the States, and just many different things that are needed that many different people could be involved with. I remember a co-missionary on the field. He had somebody that was supposed to be taking care of his finances and depositing his support check into the bank account, and they forgot to do it. And so back then, you had to wait at least 30 days from when you deposited a check in your account to get the money the next month in the Philippines. So the next month, they go to the bank and find out they don't have any money in the bank. The check had bounced, but the bank's not going to tell you that the check bounced. Not until you get to the bank. And so here they are 30 days later. They go to get their support, and there's no support there. because the ones that are supposed to take care of their finances didn't deposit their check right away. So the check they wrote in the Philippines bounced, but they didn't find out about it till 30 days later. So now they've got a problem. Now, fortunately, we had an emergency fund, and we were able to say, okay, just write a check to me, and I'll put it in my account and give you the funds that you need. But what if there hadn't been another missionary there? And so logistic support, financial support, communication support. You know, as we mentioned, ones who are lonely. You know, what a blessing to get an email or a letter. You know, word of encouragement. We had one church down in South Carolina that, I mean, on a regular basis, we'd be missionaries of the month. And when we were, we'd get an email from maybe three families in the church. You know, you're our missionary. We're praying for you. And, you know, what an encouragement. That would be, especially if you were going through some trials at the time and knowing that there were ones that were specifically making you a matter of prayer at that time. So the communication support, naturally the prayer support, and then last, the reentry support. The difficulty of the reverse culture shock. When a missionary has been on the field 4 or 5 years and they come back and they've changed, the church has changed, the country's changed, the technology has changed. They've come from a third world country where you couldn't find much of anything, and then they go into a Walmart and they break down into tears because they're just overwhelmed by all the choices that are there. You know, so many different things. And I wish I had time to just share with you thing after thing where you could make a difference. But my challenge is in being a helper, you know, not only for the future, but how about this Christmas break? Would you email a missionary? Tell them you're praying for them. Ask them if there's any special prayer request. And make it a point to be a blessing to one of God's servants this Christmas. On the field, to your pastor back home, to maybe some that are here in the States as well. Ask God to use you to be a helper and to be a blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. We thank you for the example of Aquila and Priscilla. We thank you for the privilege of being co-laborers, of being helpers. Lord, I thank you for all the ones that were our helpers over the years that we were in the Philippines, the pastors, the church members, those that prayed for us, those that gave, those that sent emails and letters and sought to be a special blessing. Lord, I thank you for each one of those. And Lord, help us to not just be self-focused during these upcoming holidays, but to make a difference and to be a blessing to some of your servants. For your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.